Good morning, I'm Doug Tribou. Today, softball teams from the Big Ten, including Michigan State and the University of Michigan, open their conference tournament in Ann Arbor. Next month, thousands of fans will attend the NCAA Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. And in 2020, softball returns to the Olympics after a 12-year hiatus. It's a far cry from softball's early days, when top female and male players often had to move to find a company-sponsored team with a travel budget just so they could play in tournaments. Erica Wesley documents the game's evolution in her book Fast Pitch, The Untold History of Softball and the Women Who Made the Game. Wesley just completed a Knight Wallace Journalism Fellowship at U of M, and she joins me now. Welcome to Morning Edition on Michigan Radio.
Thank you so much.
Erica, let's just start with something basic. Softballs aren't soft. How did the game get its name?
Well, its origins actually started with a boxing glove as the first softball, and it started in the late 1800s. It was sort of an impromptu version of indoor baseball, and what they had lying around in this gymnasium in Chicago where it was supposedly invented was a boxing glove. As the game evolved through the 20th century, the ball got smaller and harder, but the name softball stuck.
To tell the history of softball, you tell the story of Bertha Reagan, who became a legendary pitcher over the course of about three decades in the game. Her parents were European immigrants who owned a small farm in California. Bertha was born in 1922 and started developing her pitching skills in the 1930s when she was in high school. Describe the sports scene for girls and women at that time and how softball started to fit into that mix.
Bertha grew up with seven brothers, and so she was the only girl, and she grew up playing baseball on the farm, but at school she wasn't able to really play these sports, which continued through the 20th century, where you saw girls being able to play baseball with the boys up until about age 10, and then they would start getting steered away from it as it got more competitive. She really needed to play on these adult amateur teams that existed. Fortunately, there were a few in the area where she was in California. So she was able to join this team in the town of Orange called the Lionettes, and they wound up being one of the most competitive teams in the country, and that's really where she got her start as a competitive pitcher.
And in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, softball, like some other sports, including basketball, became popular for companies who wanted to engender a little bit of goodwill or camaraderie among their workers and also do a little marketing at the same time. And Bertha Reagan became so well known for her play in Southern California, she was eventually recruited to play for a team in Connecticut owned by a company called Raybestos. Tell us about the Raybestos Braquettes and what they offered for players like Bertha Reagan.
Raybestos was a company in Connecticut that made brake linings for cars. The manager of the company really wanted to win a national title. A few other teams did as well, but he had the money to really recruit the best players from around the U.S., and he focused on Bertha. In the 1950s, he recruited her to come from California, paid for her plane ticket, also paid for her catcher, whom she insisted she needed to play with, put them up in a nice beach house on Long Island Sound, gave them both jobs at the company. It took a few seasons, but after that, they were sort of the Yankees of women's softball.
A lot of people think of softball as a recreational game, slow arcing pitches with maybe some cold beers in a cooler behind the bench. It's interesting that the sport has these two distinct ways of playing, this slow lob and this very hard fast pitch. How did that split develop and how did it affect the growth of the game?
When softball was first invented, the ball was larger and softer and it was sort of this more lobbing pitching style. In the early 20th century and going on into the 1950s, fast pitch was the main form of softball. Slow pitch still existed. It was just primarily for children and for senior citizens. But after the 1950s, slow pitch started to grow among adults. That's where you start kind of seeing the company teams being on the slow pitch side. Not really until fast pitch became a women's college sport do you start to see the kind of resurgence of fast pitch softball.
The Midwest played a big part in the growth of softball. The first national tournament, which featured men's and women's divisions right from the beginning, was played in Chicago in 1933. Detroit would later host some major tournaments. And in the 1970s, Michigan was also part of the start of a pro league for women's softball founded by tennis icon Billie Jean King. Tell us about the Michigan Travelers.
The Michigan Travelers, which were based in East Detroit, were the professional version of the Lansing Laurels. University of Michigan softball coach Carol Hutchins played on the Lansing Laurels, as did a lot of other coaches who came from the Michigan area. So it was sort of the team you needed to join if you were serious about softball at that time. For a lot of the players who were coming out of those amateur teams, it was just an achievement to just call themselves professional athletes and be able to kind of make that step to play for the Michigan Travelers, which unfortunately didn't have the funding to play more than that first season. But the idea was that it would set up opportunities for the younger players coming up.
One thing that has happened in competitive softball, not entirely, but for the most part, is that it's become a sport played by women and girls, while baseball is mainly for men and boys. But in recent years, more and more women have started pushing to play baseball again, saying it's the game they grew up watching with their families, and that's the game they want to play. Do you see any chance of that coming to a head and hurting softball in the long run?
Little League is required to allow girls to play baseball today. There were lawsuits that started in the 1970s, in part related to Title IX. But if they want to play baseball through college and often high school, they have to be on the boys' team because there just aren't those girls' baseball teams. So I think there's a feeling for the women who really want to push for women to play baseball. They see softball as a hurdle because softball is seen as the sport you play instead. Some of it comes with not understanding the history of fast pitch softball and that it wasn't a women's version of baseball. But I really think fast pitch softball is a great sport and I wouldn't want to see it disappear entirely because women choose to only play baseball.
Bertha Reagan kept pitching for the Raybestos Braquettes into the 1960s. She died in 2014 at the age of 92. What is her softball legacy?
She's, maybe Babe Ruth isn't the right analogy, but she's an icon. She was a public figure. She appeared on several 1950s game shows, and she was involved with Sports Illustrated. Bertha really demonstrated that you could play at a high level at a time when female athletes were often being told to take it easy, not to push too hard. She was there to push and really made other players rise up along with her.
Erica, this has been really fun. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Erica Westley is the author of Fast Pitch, The Untold History of Softball and the Women Who Made the Game, which is now out in paperback. You're listening to Morning Edition on Michigan Radio.